Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Hindustan Oil Exploration Company Limited Q2 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Cyril Paul from Ernst & Young. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Paul.
Thank you. Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Q2 earnings call of Hindustan Oil Exploration Company Limited. The company published its results on November 14th and has uploaded the investor presentation on the exchanges yesterday. I trust all of you have had the opportunity to review them. Before we start, a disclaimer: some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties, which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are made on management's beliefs and assumptions made by information currently available to the management. Audiences are cautioned not to place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements when making their investment decisions. On that note, let me introduce you to the management participating with us in today's conference call. We have with us Mr. R. Jeevanandhan, Managing Director, Mr. Senthil Nagan, CFO, and Ms. Josephine Desi, Company Secretary. Without further ado, I'd like to hand over the call to Mr. Jeevanandhan. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Cyril. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Quarter 2 Financial Year 26 earnings call. From our team, I have Senthil Nagan, our CFO, and Desi, our Company Secretary, joining me on this call. We regret for the delay in scheduling this earnings call, as the notice was not given to the exchange in time. I will start with the operational updates regarding our various blocks, starting with the Northeastern region. Let me begin with an update on the Karsan block. You would recollect that we had secured environmental clearance for drilling 40 development wells and 3 exploration wells in this block in February 2025. The drilling will be executed in a phased manner, with the initial phase comprising 9 development wells. As of today, the drilling of the 7th well is in progress, and 5 wells have been put into production. While perforating the gas zone of the 6th well, we encountered well control issues, which we expect to be resolved within a few days. After this, the 6th well will also be perforated in its oil zone and will be put into production. The results from the 6th well authenticate the substantial volume of gas, which can be commercialized once the Northeast gas grid is fully operational by later this year. We will continue to drilling to reach the full potential of the block. We have already released 6 more locations for further drilling, and after completion of the initial phase of drilling of these 9 wells, we will proceed with the next phase of drilling, an additional 9 wells and 1 deep well. We have reached a production level of about 900 barrels per day from this block, up from 350 barrels of initial production. We earnestly hope that with the support of Oil India Limited, we can unlock substantial value for all stakeholders in the block. A review of the data from the drilled wells authenticates the substantial potential of the block stated in the GCA report. Moving on to the Dirok field, the revised development plan for the Dirok block has been approved, enabling us to secure an extension of the block. As you would recollect, we plan to drill a well in North Dirok after the Barail formation. We will evaluate responses to the expression of interest for a 2,000 horsepower rig and finalize the contract. Dirok gas sales for the current quarter is 14 million standard cubic feet per day, while the offtake in the previous quarter was 20 million standard cubic per day. Accordingly, the sales volume of the current quarter is 0.34 BCF compared to 0.49 BCF in the previous quarter for our share. Condensate production is 5,858 barrels compared to 8,893 barrels in the previous quarter. Price realized in the current quarter is $7.8 per MMBTU compared to $7.56 in the previous quarter. The field has the capacity to produce up to 50 million standard cubic feet per day with the existing facilities, though the production has historically been constrained by limited demand. Demand is expected to rise significantly once the Northeast gas grid is fully integrated with the national gas grid. The progress made on this front that IGGL has successfully commissioned the connection from Guwahati to Numaligarh. The next milestone is the completion of the DNPL-IGGL linkage, which is actively underway. We are closely monitoring the development and preparing to scale up our capacity to meet the anticipated increase in demand. We expect the grid to be operational within financial year 26 and hope that the increase in offtake will occur before quarter 4. We will augment our capacity by drilling 3 more development wells in Dirok and further drilling in North Dirok. This will enable us to increase the sales volume and meet the rising demand once the connectivity improves. Block AAONHP 2017-19, which we refer to as the Block 19, is an area adjacent to Dirok known as the Greater Dirok and is analogous to the Dirok structure. We have received the environmental clearance and we apply for a 2-year period extension as per the recent notification to complete the committed work program of drilling 2 exploration wells. We have submitted the extension of the bank guarantee to the Government of India to secure the extension. Regarding Umatara block, we have 10% participating interest in this block, where IOCL is the operator holding 90% participating interest. IOCL has started drilling the first development well and has drilled up to 3,900 meters, which will be completed within a month. Our expected capital outlay for the Northeast region for the next 2 financial years is 250 crores and more, and we are endeavored to complete our drilling in the Northeast within 2 years to commercialize the discovered resources. Turning to our Gambay blocks, we have successfully drilled 2 wells in North Balol. One well has flowed the oil in Balol Pay and further testing is underway, while the second well did not meet the expectations and we may be sidetracked to target another structure, which is on the southern structure. With these developments, we will have 4 producing wells in North Balol. Looking ahead, we plan to drill 2 additional wells in Asjol. We are also awaiting final clearance of the ring-fenced PSC along with the extension of the Polish block. Once the extension is granted, we will install the SRP in existing wells and drill additional wells in Polish. These initiatives are expected to add reasonable value to the Gambay assets. Current production from Gambay remains the same at 0.33 MMSCFD of gas in quarter 2 financial year 26. I will now provide an update on our offshore blocks in Mumbai High and Cauvery Basins. In Block BAT, where we hold 100% participating interest, production for the current quarter stands 31,468 barrels of oil and 0.23 BCF of gas compared to 48,406 barrels of oil and 0.37 BCF of gas in the previous quarter. Production was temporarily impacted by monsoon-related disturbances from mid-June to first week of August 2025, affecting the revenue for the quarter. We are making every effort to avoid disturbances and remain committed to improve and minimize the shutdown as much as possible. The average gas price realized during this quarter is 10.62 per MMBTU versus 11.41 in the previous quarter. We have sold about 470,000 barrels of oil to HPCL. In terms of the crude offtake sales agreement called COSA, the title and risk of the crude oil along with the insurable interest stands transferred to the buyer at offshore at the outside flange of the FSO on 25th September 2025. 3 weeks following the appropriation of the crude by HPCL, we received a letter from them regarding the contamination issue. This issue has nothing to do with the quality of BAT crude, which is wheat and light. As per COSA, no warranty or representation regarding the quality of the crude is provided, thus negating any basis for claims or costs or consequential damages, if any, against us. We are currently engaged in discussion with HPCL to resolve the matter amicably and realize the sales revenue. For the Mumbai offshore B15 block, the GNC review and development plan are progressing well. This discovered field spans 332 square kilometers and is supported by extensive 3D and 2D seismic data. Once the development plan is finalized, we will commence development activities. With the water depth of approximately 40 meters, we are confident of bringing the field into production within 2 years. Regarding Cauvery offshore block TY1, based on the study by Petro-Vietnam, we will initiate our drilling program. We are in discussion with the various contractors and suppliers to commence the first well in financial year 2027. We propose to drilling 2 infill wells, 1 appraisal well through the existing platform and 1 exploration well outside the platform. We have received the expression of interest from various drilling contractors and will finalize the drilling rig and source the long lead items to commence the drilling at the earliest. This program is expected to unlock significant potential, and on successful drilling and completion of the wells, they can be connected to production immediately, given that the processing and the transportation infrastructure are already in place. Even at the PPAC price, this project is economically viable since the capital infusion is marginal with a substantial unrecovered cost. Moving to the quarterly results, our EBITDA for the current quarter is 25 crores in the consolidated accounts compared to 35 crores in the previous quarter, mainly due to the low offtake in Duroc and monsoon fury in BIT. We remain committed to drilling a total of 18 shallow wells and 3 deep wells in Karsan, 4 wells in Duroc, 2 wells in Greater Duroc, and 2 wells in East Azjol and Polish in our onshore assets. To unlock the potential of our offshore fields, we plan to drill 10 offshore wells, 3 wells in PY1, 3 wells in BIT, and 4 wells in P15. With internal accruals, we secured a debt capital of 250 crores to meet the above capital expenditure. This term loan will be used exclusively for our capital expenditure. We have substantial value below the ground, and we believe we bring this value to the surface and thereby unlocking value to all stakeholders. We will overcome all the temporary setbacks and we will continue to drill and monetize the discovered reserves and resources. I will now hand over to Sendil, our CFO, to take you through the financial results in detail.
Thanks, Sendil, please. Good morning, all. Standalone revenue for this quarter is Rs. 321.51 crores compared to Rs. 83.48 crores in the previous quarter. The increase is mainly on account of crude oil sales from BAT field. BAT revenue for the current quarter is Rs. 281.72 crores, which includes revenue from crude oil sale of Rs. 258.78 crores. Revenue from gas sale from BAT for the current quarter is Rs. 22.94 crores compared to Rs. 38.58 crores in the previous quarter. Current quarter revenue decrease in BAT is mainly due to lower production of gas, which is 229 MMSCF in this quarter compared to 370 MMSCF in the previous quarter. The decrease in production is mainly due to monsoon. In case of Duroc, revenue for the current quarter is Rs. 26.57 crores compared to Rs. 36.98 crores in the previous quarter. During this quarter, 339 MMSCF of gas was sold compared to 490 MMSCF of gas sold in the previous quarter. Similarly, 5,858 barrel of oil was sold in this quarter compared to 8,893 barrel of oil sold in the previous quarter. The decrease in revenue is mainly due to less offtake from customers. In standalone accounts, the field operating expenses for this quarter is Rs. 46.51 crores compared to Rs. 55.8 crores. Statutory levies are 10.6 crores for the current quarter compared to 12.13 crores in the previous quarter. Similarly, total cost without stock adjustment in the current quarter is Rs. 71.5 crores compared to 81.51 crores in the previous quarter. Standalone EBITDA for the current quarter is Rs. 28.81 crores compared to Rs. 27.24 crores in the previous quarter. Profit after tax for the current quarter is Rs. 19.04 crores compared to Rs. 15.69 crores in the previous quarter without considering the exceptional item of Rs. 32.52 crores in the previous quarter. In consolidated accounts, the revenue from operations for this quarter is Rs. 325.31 crores compared to Rs. 85.5 crores in the previous quarter. Main reason for increase in revenue during the quarter is crude oil sale in BAT field. Total expenses without stock adjustment in the consolidated accounts for the current quarter is Rs. 85.95 crores compared to Rs. 84.79 crores in the previous quarter. In consolidated accounts, EBITDA for this quarter is 25.15 crores compared to Rs. 35.02 crores in the previous quarter. Consolidated profit after tax for the current quarter is Rs. 2.83 crores against 11.35 crores in the previous quarter without considering an exceptional item of 32.52 crores in the previous quarter. India Ratings has reaffirmed the rating in day for Rs. 500 crores bank loan. With the current cash position and continued production and with the borrowings for capital expenditure as required, we'll meet all our obligations. Thank you and back to Mr. Jeeva.
Okay. Thanks, Engel. We can now open the forum for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Participants, please note, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, kindly limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sukrit D. Patil from Eyesight FinTrade Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good morning to the team. I have two forward-looking questions. First is looking beyond this quarter's numbers. I want to understand what the bigger picture for Hindustan Oil is. You know, especially as the company operates in a energy transition and exploratory risk profile. As global demands also keep on shifting and affecting the overall business model, over the next 1 to 2 years, what is the one big change that you are driving that will make Hindustan Oil stronger and more trusted in the upstream oil and gas space? Will it be about expanding reserves or building deeper partnerships or any JV? Yes, can you please shed some light on that? And I'll ask my second question after this.
Okay. See, the underlying reserves and resources of the company, in our estimates, which is in the order of about 100 million barrels of oil equivalent. So for this, we continuously, as you are talking about transition, majority of our resources, at least more than 50%, are now gas-based. So that is the energy transition mode for a clean fuel as such. So that's why we are concentrating more on drilling mode now. So as we speak, we have completed 6 wells in the current year, 7th well is in progress. We continue to drill the wells in the northeastern region, and once the gas grid connectivity comes in, that will unlock substantial value and whatever our resource potential can be get monetized. And similarly, in offshore, we have got 3 blocks, which is directly under our control. And out of all the 3 blocks are 100% owned, we are planning to drill additional 10 wells that will unlock the value of the discovered reserves and resources, right? In addition, we will be embarking on one exploration project in Northeast, that is the Greater Duroc. That will also, we believe, with the chances of success, if everything goes in line, we will be add additional resource on it. In a manner, we will be a meaningful player in India for any upstream activities in the coming years. And no company can do success on oil and gas unless continued drilling activities. So as we speak, we are in the drilling mode and we'll continue to drill and unlock the value. And as a partnership concern, we are in partnership with ONGC in Kembe and with Oil India and an IOC. They are our trusted partners and valuable partners. We'll continue to engage with them. And as well as any new partner comes with either the knowledge base or with the monetary support, then we will engage with them. That is what I can say at the moment.
That's good guidance. My second question, again, forward-looking one on margins and cost planning. Mostly margins in oil and gas are always or mostly under pressure when costs rises, you know, whether it is through drilling, compliance or exploration. Just want to understand how you think about protecting the profits without slowing down growth. Is there any smart sourcing or pricing discipline or any other operational efficiencies that you will be putting into place? And how do you balance these in practice so that Hindustan Oil can remain strong even when certain things get very unpredictable or maybe due to some global concerns in the next few quarters? Thank you.
Okay. See that, as you rightly observed, there is a volatility in the prices which is not in our control. What is in our control is the two important factors, doing a job properly and then reducing the cost. Since we are on the job, we are basically a marginal operators, and in a manner that cost becomes priority to us and structuring the contracts. and both we are working in a mode that we will not allow the cost escalation, which will kill us. That is on the one side. Second thing, some hedging, natural hedging allowed us. For example, in offshore, we can store substantial volume of crude oil that we can adjust the price fluctuations to our advantage. And gas as such per se, no one can store it, and we have to sell. That is depending on the price per se. Now, with all the incentives and the market is getting developed in the Northeast, we will be in a strong balance sheet by 2026-27, and that will support all our capital program. And 2 years down the line, we will be on a mode of realizing monetizing the existing reserves and enhancing the next level of growth. That is what we believe.
That's wonderful guidance from your part, and I wish the entire team best of luck for Q3.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nigel Mascarenhas from Everflow Partners. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Couple of questions from my end. Firstly, what is the status of the Northeast pipeline which connects the region to the national gas grid? By when is that expected?
Yes, we speak, there is a line Guwahati to Numaligarh from IGGL line has already been connected, commissioned. That is, one end has already been completed. The other end from Duliajan to Numaligarh, that is a DNPL line, which is to be connected. We are expecting shortly on that. Once that is completed, then the gas offtake immediately can increase at least by about 1 million cubic meters per day. Then it can further augment by another 1 million cubic meters that can take care of our supply therein in a manner that there would not be any demand constraint for our existing 6-well program. But by the time we complete other 4 wells in the block Rock and the possibility of producing from Karsan, that time the full-fledged national grid would be operational. That will be connected to the Northeast gas grid. There should not be any demand constraint, and we will be able to monetize comfortably.
Got it. And by when is it expected to be completed?
I am not privy to that exact details actually, but we hope that should get over by end of this quarter, and some offtake improvement should take from fourth quarter. And by all probabilities, to the best of having spent about more than 10,000 crores by the Government of India, in all earnestness, they wanted to put the grid into operational. By first quarter, by all means, it should be through in the next financial year.
Got it. Got it. And my second question is on DAP. So for DAP, what are the interventions planned to stabilize and scale up production? How much will they cost, and by when will they be done?
See, actually, we wanted to start the workover now, but that is getting delayed by 1.5 months. So first, initially, our program is one workover, and after this, then after the next monsoon, we will be start drilling three development wells. That is by not through a subsea well, that we are putting a platform therein. After that, we drill the three wells. So once the three-well drilling gets completed, this block will have a stable production. So till the time, it is dwindling around by 600-700 barrels and about 5 million cubic feet of gas.
Understood. Thank you, sir. Thank you for
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harshit Khadka from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yeah.
Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is regarding debt. So what is your outlook on debt? Like, how do we see debt going forward in FY27?
See, FY27, we will be able to full flow on the Duroc and the Karsan, and the two things will come, and our exploration success will add the reserves therein, and BIT would be in operational. BIT, at least fourth quarter, we will be able to increase the volume thereon. And by the time our POI-1 will come, and we will be in a full and we will be starting the monetizing mode from Northeast to the offshore blocks.
Sir, do we have any expected debt level as such?
No, we don't want to borrow more than this 250 crores, which we already secured it.
All right. And my next question is regarding production level. So what?
Please rejoin the queue for more questions. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhruv Ravani from Shri J Finserv LLP. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. So on that work order of B1, when do you plan to actually do it?
See, now we are talking to some of the companies, and by first quarter, last quarter of this year, we will be able to complete that. That is only about 30 days job. But some of the companies who have already installed the tree and other things, they were in the mergers. So we are talking to the companies who are taking over from them, because you need the IVAs and other things and the tools actually to pull out the tree. Tree running tools are required, so we have been in discussion with them. Once that is through, then we will be finalizing the drilling rig and go ahead with it.
Okay, so we will expect the workover rig to happen only in Q4.
Yeah, not on Q3.
Yeah. Okay. And in B15, there is a B15 well which is already drilled. So would that be put on production anytime soon?
Not soon, within 2 years. So we
okay.
have to do a development plan. That's about, we have got 350 square kilometer 2D, 3D data. They are working on it. The data volume is substantial. The people are working on it. And we will submit a development plan to the Government of India. The water depth is only 40 meters. So we will be able to embark on installing some minimum facility platform and start drilling there. So we expect the duration of from the start date to end date should be about 2 years.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Riddhesh Gangi from Discovery Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. You know, if you could just highlight a little bit on this HPCL issue, what exactly happened, how they are claiming this, because with the ready of presentation, it appears to be that we don't have much of liability. Just, you know, if you could just highlight what exactly is happening with the HPCL issue.
So, as you are aware, we have submitted a, sorry, you may not be aware, I'll tell you now, that COSA called the crude offtake sales agreement. This agreement is signed on 3rd September 2025. Normally, in the COSA agreement, we don't guarantee any quality of the crude oil or the product liability thereon. In the COSA agreement also provides there is no consequential damages there. The title of the crude transfers at the outside flange at our FSO in Mumbai offshore. Then it gets into the tankers. From that moment, the title, risk, and all insurable interest rest with HPCL. After 3 weeks, they come back and saying that the crude is having some chloride content, and we wanted to amicably settle all the issue with all our customers. So we found out, then they are saying actually there is some chloride content is more. Then we have been in discussion with them, and from their side, they have to use the crude, and from our side, we have to realize the money. That is the position at the moment. We are in constant and continuous touch with them, and we are not liable for any cost claim under the COSA executed with HPCL.
No, so look, I understand that, you know, as per what you're saying is we don't have a legal liability and that we have a strong case to claim the entire amount. But is there a potential, I mean, broader issue with regards to the quality of the oil which might for future
Absolutely
transactions
no,
impact
Ritesh.
us?
Absolutely no. The crude is a sweet crude and this is a light crude. There is no issue on the quality of the crude from the reservoir. That I can share with 100% confidence on it.
So then some amount of the contamination would have happened along the way, or there's some other issue? Because I mean, obviously it's a pretty large claim which HPCL is making. So what would give us the confidence that there is no issue with the crude?
There is no consequential claim for anything under the COSA. And second thing, we have sent another parcel to IOCL in the previous occasion. There is no issue thereon. So if any contamination occurred and the issue thereon is now being handled, any contamination is also an insurable interest. and accordingly, it is now being built, and we will let you know once we made any progress with them. Whatever the progress we made with HPCL, we'll keep you informed.
Okay. Sir, and last question is with regards.
Please rejoin the queue for follow-up questions.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Moksh Ranka from Aurum Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Hello, sir. So we have guided, we are expecting the Northeast grid to be fully operational this year. So how confident are we considering this has been delayed multiple times? Although I know it's not in our control, but just could you highlight how confident are we this time?
If two confidence level comes, there is already an investment of more than 10,000 crores. And already the Numaligarh to Guwahati connection is completed and commissioned. That is connected to the national grid at the moment. So now what is to be connected is from Duliajan to Numaligarh. Okay, Duliajan to Numaligarh connection gets that one leg of the first leg of the grid connectivity to the eastern grid connectivity to the national grid established. And IGGL also planning another separate line. So that will take a couple of years. That means that the entire Northeast gas grid would be a fully operational and linked to the national grid. So the timeline, as we discussed and whatever the knowledges we gathered by talking to the people, it should be end of this quarter, and some offtake improvement will take from the fourth quarter. By all probabilities, by considering the delays in the past and other thing, it should be fully operational from the first quarter of 2026-27. Okay?
Okay. We are taking a term loan essentially for CapEx for drilling new wells. So how are we re-looking at the CapEx considering there is a commodity price fall, and what returns are we expecting from this CapEx? And how considering this is going to increase the risk in our balance sheet and so just that.
See, there is no balance sheet risk thereon. These prices are volatile. Now the transition fuel is the gas, and the gas price we are linking it to the oil price. Even at this price, our return should be more than 21% IRR post-tax, right? So we don't find the substantial downside in this, and nothing will happen to the company. These assets are so the transition, unless the entire transition fuel taken place by some other renewable or other things, oil and gas industry will survive. As long as oil and gas industry survives, this is a reasonably low price at the moment. So we should not find anything happen to the company or to the balance sheet, and no impairment is expected.
Okay. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anubhav Goel from Cosma Ventures. Please go ahead.
Sir, have you received the payment from HPCL? And I didn't understand to realize the sales revenue. I mean, we have already booked it, right?
Yeah. Yes, we have booked it. We have to receive the payment.
So yet to receive the payment? Hello?
Pardon?
Hello? Sir, we are yet to receive the payment from HPCL?
Yes. Right.
So, sir, is it? Okay.
We are in discussion with them. We will let you know actually once we receive. We'll keep as an information.
Okay, sir. Okay. And sir, this quarter run rate, can you share for DROC as well as the five operational wells at Khansing?
See, the run rate remains the same unless the grid connectivity on Duliajan to Numaligarh is there. We cannot expect greater improvement. So we are expecting that once the connectivity improves and the NRL offtake also increases, then there would be a sustained production without any disruptions. That's what I can say. Giving any guidance is, it may not be appropriate at this stage.
And sir, the five wells at Khansing?
See, that's producing about 900 barrels. All wells put together, the Khansing production is about 900 barrels. That each well is contributing about 100-150 barrels, 125-150 barrels on an average. So we continue to drill, we increase our production. As such, once the drilling is completed, then the wells are get completed, we hook up our production immediately. But for gas, that will take some time.
And for the sixth well, gas blowout issue.
Please rejoin the queue for further
questions. For this last question, if I may. So the gas blowout issue at the sixth well, the leakage of gas. So, you know, do you feel it will be resolved in the next few days or this can cause some liabilities to us?
No liability is there. We fully insured, we covered, and accept the deductibles of 2 crores, and it will get resolved quickly.
Okay, sir. Thank you. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Tokas, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yeah, please.
Yes, sir. Good morning. I have my question is also specific about Dirod, BAT and Kharsang. If you can give the daily average total cost of production and the 1P reserves of each of these assets.
The 1P reserves of BAT, right?
BAT, Dirok and Kharsan. These are the important assets for you, right? So, the cost of production and the reserves, please.
The BAT, our cost of production is about $30 per barrel on an average.
That and, is including, not including the FSO and the MOPU costs, right?
All including FSO and MOPU charges together.
Okay. I mean, if you did not own them, even then you would be producing at 30. Or are you including the benefit of owning those?
We included the benefit of owning it because we are taking only the operating costs of this because the volume of production is too less. So it is a mostly cost mitigation to the facilities owned by us. So in a manner that we take only the variable cost there and do it. And that is the way it is around $30. The 1P reserves we already declared, it is about 15 million barrel of oil and about 40-45 BCF of gas.
Okay. And for Dirok and Kharsang as well?
Dirok, we are expecting substantial volume could be added. And we are expecting the total steel production would get, it would be at least around the 200 BCF of gas. And it is, the resources are substantial. So we would be unlocking substantial value from the block, the rock. At least it's reached to our rough estimate, at least for 400 BCF of gas and good quality, good volume of, that's our estimation. But by drilling additional 3 developments, we will get authenticated by a third party.
So these assets have a very long plateau life, even at 50 or 70 MMS CFT.
Absolutely, it is having a long plateau. We are expecting the life of the field will go for 20 years.
And your costs at Dirok would go down to 0.6, 0.7?
Cost of production is very low. It's about less than 0.75 per MMBTU.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. Have a good day.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nishant from the fellow investors. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, Nishant.
Sir, my question is related with BAT. A hypothetical question. I know it is not true. If something gets contaminated from the part of crude and in case of emergency, then are we in a condition to drill the next block within a 1 year, and will it impact the gas production in case of BAT?
No, see, this is the crude issue. Contamination has nothing to do with the development of the field or the block. It has no relation whatsoever. Okay, we are embarking on our continuous production and continuous drilling. There is no issue there on.
Okay. And what is the cost of production of crude and natural gas in BAT?
On an average, it is $30 per barrel of oil equivalent.
30 barrel per dollar.
$30
per
barrel
dollar.
Of oil. Yeah.
Okay. For gas also?
I mean, it is a barrel of oil equivalent. Now, gas is no longer a byproduct. It is a joint product. So, considering the gas price therein, that it is $30 per barrel of oil equivalent.
For gas, it cannot be calculated separately.
No, we don't calculate gas separately. It is an associated gas. It comes along with the oil.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much for addressing my question.
Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, kindly limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Sushil Lahoti, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Please tell us.
Yeah. As you said, this pipeline is connected from Guwahati to Numaligarh. My first question is how it is going to benefit HOEC? And secondly, what is the status of this DNPL line to be a common carrier? If it happens, how much it is going to benefit HOEC in terms of top line and bottom line?
See, it will be increasing our volumes from, say, today around 15 million cubic feet of gas. It will go to, say, 45. So it will increase the volume by 3 times more. With the existing wells filled itself, and there would not be any demand constraint. It will go from Arctic and go up to the DNPL line. It comes by, say, end of December, and even if the worst comes, it comes in the fourth quarter. Then this would be our position. We will be able to make a threefold increase in our revenue on the rock immediately.
Okay. Regarding my first question, sir, this pipeline connected from Guwahati to Numaligarh. Are we going to get any benefit?
No, it is already a connected line. Now, what is happening is they have to connect it with the IGGL line and some compression station and other things are to be put in, which they are working on it at the moment. And once it connected IGGL line, it can go from, it can take additional 1 million cubic meters of gas. So out of that, even a portion of the Oil India gas goes into it and our gas also will, our giant venture gas also get into it. And we will be able to reach at least 1 million cubic meter of gas comfortably. And we are targeting to go up to 45 million cubic feet per day.
Okay, sir. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Pam.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manan Patel, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, first question is on the DNPL. So, we had a problem challenge of it not being accepted as common carrier. So has that problem been resolved and just the physical work is remaining? If you could throw some light on that.
I think they are looking for, see what I understand, because Manan, it is not, I am not privy to it exactly what's happening there unto it. But they've completed the mechanical work on some strengthening the line and some changing a portion of the line. The mechanical work stand completed. Now, what do they do is the next is they will connecting with the IGGL line. They, once the IGGL line gets connected, then they will be applying a called PESO license or something. Once that is done, then the next issue is they will come to PNGRB for declaring it as a common carrier. That is still pending with PNGRB. Once these two things get completed, PNGRB will test it. After that, they will give a, they will declare it as a common carrier. Then they will be looking at the rate to be fixed and other things will take place.
But AGCL is on board for that, right?
Yeah. AGCL is on board.
Okay. And so second question is, so I heard somewhere that there is a shortage of drilling rigs. So are you facing the same? And if yes, how does it affect our drilling?
No. Actually, what happened, we are shortlisting one of the rig for us. So we need about 2,000 hours per rig and 1,000 hours per rig, which we have got some good responses and we will be able to get some rigs. And the worst come, we can fall back to our big brother, Oil India, to help us with one rig for us.
Thanks a lot and wish you all the best.
Thanks, Manan. Thanks so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mehul Panjwani from 40 Cents. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Sir, can you just tell me what is this COSA agreement? Because, you know, for us who are layman people, we are not aware of what is this agreement. Is it like an oil and gas standard agreement or what is it?
It is actually a standard agreement followed by all. And we take the model from ONGC agreements. And these agreements have been given in advance along with the injunction. Based on that agreement, the buyer's liability and seller's liability is categorically stated therein.
And if you look at as such the agreement, that the title, risk, and the insurable interest stands transferred at the offshore. That's what the normal terms of the COSA. After that, there is the product belongs to the buyer, and the seller responsibility gets over there. And the quality is normally stated as a typical quality, typical indicative quality, because we don't know much about the refining side and what is the cut will come, which product they will take and other things. There is no product warranty therein. There is no quality warranty there.
Sir, how do you spell COSA actually?
Pardon?
What is the spelling of COSA? K-O-S-A?
No, no. COSA means, I'll tell you, Crude Offtake Sales Agreement.
Right, sir. Right. And sir, last question is, sir, but what I'm trying to understand is very layman question, that if a company is selling crude oil to another company, then there has to be some kind of a quality check by the buyer. So is it that the buyer checks the quality before the oil is sent to the buyer, or how is it? I mean,
we don't want to transfer into their territory, because we have sold with the assay report and they have taken it to their samples. And they will be using the crude what they deem fit. And we are in discussion with them. And at this moment, let us not get into too many details what they have done and how they will do it and other things. Okay?
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjana from Suyom Advisors Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking my question. Am I audible?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sir, I just had an accounting question, especially for BAP. Crude that we extract on a regular basis and then we store it in one of our tankers, how do we account for it in our inventory? And what adjustment happens when we sell it?
See, the inventory is this all production, whatever the volume which has not been sold, it has been accounted in the concept of mark to market. Okay?
Okay.
So the day and mark to market means I have a storage on oil on 31st March. The price on 31st March will determine the value for it.
Okay.
Okay. So when I sell it,
and what happens to it once?
No, when that would be a part of crude inventory, there is increase or decrease in stock. That would be get reflected on a continuous basis. And the corresponding amount of crude in stock would get reflected into the balance sheet. Once the oil gets sold, then that year, that month or that quarter or something, that would be adjusted into the increase or decrease in stock, but that will go into the revenue on the other side and the inventory stand reduced.
Okay, so when we sell it, do we again have to make any adjustments for end-to-end?
Obviously, no. Whatever the price differences, again get adjusted into the increase or decrease.
Okay, got it.
Okay.
Okay, got it. Yeah, thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manpreet Arora from Arora Wealth Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Am I audible?
Yeah, very much.
Yeah. So, sir, any update on the PY3 tribunal and, in layman's terms, if you can explain to us what is our case there and what is our stand there?
See, actually what has happened was there is a dispute on the exclusive operation. We are still holding 21% interest in the block PY3. When they were trying to do some redevelopment, they were telling they will be able to do it within a period of 9 months. And we challenged it, you can't do it within 9 months. And then they said they wanted to take an exclusive operation. They took it and they have not even completed the major work program. They have completed only a portion of it. And now they went to the court and make a declaratory relief seeking that their exclusive operation is valid. We are challenging the exclusive operation is null and void and we are entitled to get back into the block, and which is a part of our initial understanding also. That matter is now being referred to International Court of Justice. So they have appointed the arbitrator, the schedule has been framed, and that is what the status at the moment. It is sub judice if I say anything beyond this.
Okay. Thank you, sir. And sir, another question is on the hedging policy, and you know, just want to understand the management thought process on hedging, because you know,
Sorry to interrupt, Manpreet. Your voice is muffled.
Yeah, is it?
Still the same, sir.
Okay. Yeah, is it better now?
Yes. Yeah, it's absolutely now. Now it's better. Tell me.
So, sir, I was asking about how the management thinks about hedging. You know, you had mentioned that we have storage, and you know, if the oil prices are not in favor, we store the oil till we reach a favorable price. But you know, also in the past, we had oil storage when oil was at $80, but then we had to sell it when it came down to $60. So have we, you know, went back to the board and thought about how we want to hedge? Maybe when the price is favorable, at least hedge up to the storage that we have at that point of time, or something like that.
Yeah,
I mean, just want to, yeah.
Yeah, I think predicting the oil price is it's very difficult, and in either way you will be wrong. So we are looking at it as a natural hedge. That's what we believe in it. And you can fiddle it around this way, that way, about 1 or 2 months and not beyond that. So either way, you would be a loser, no? Because better to go for a natural hedge. We firmly believe in that. So the product, any product, we don't hedge it. We allow it to a natural hedge.
So, sir, is that a standard practice across oil and gas companies?
Sorry to interrupt, Manpreet. Please rejoin the queue for follow-up questions.
Yeah. Ma'am, that was just a follow-up.
Okay, one thing I just wanted to tell you, one more thing. See, we follow the basis, we don't depend on our borrowings are not linked. So our borrowings are very limited. So that is the reason we are comfortable on the natural hedge. If we are a company highly levered or heavily borrowed, then they have to get, there is an insistence from the bankers to have a hedge on the price. But in our case, it is not the case.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harshil Solanki from Equitree Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. I have two questions. First is, the consolidated profit is 2.8 crores, whereas the standalone is 19 crores. So if you can help us bridge this difference, what is bringing the consolidated profit down?
See, the reason for that was two things. Actually, you know, during this period, 46 days, about, 37 or 38 days, we don't have any production from the BAT field. So now BAT, we get into a mark, actually, in the sense, when whatever being the oil processed or produced and stored, that would be the basis for billing to them. So in accordance with that, so Hindage and Joe and Pro, Hindage and Joe Petrol, both of them, one is owning the MOPO, one is on this thing. Their operating cost is higher. Under the financial cost, and which including the depreciation about 4.31 crores and about Joe Petrol 4.8 crores, that put together, there is about some 6 plus 11, 12 crores differences comes out of that. So that is where there are some element of subsidiary company adjustments pull it down. So, but actually, which is standalone, gains out of that. But at the same time, subsidiary companies, Hindage and Joe Petrol, is suffering losses on it. And second thing, some we have eliminated some intercompany. So, whatever it is, whatever set in them, that standalone is 18 crores and subsidiary is 3 crores. 15 crores is an account of the loss towards the subsidiary industries.
Okay, and this has not led to that 40% incremental interest we took over. This is not on account of that.
No, not on account of this. Because of this is mainly due to the shutdown of the field actually for about 37 days.
Okay, understood. And second question is, out of the 1,200 crores CapEx that you have planned, how many wells are done and what is the likely impact once this is all done?
So I think we have done about 77 wells in Karsan so far. So we have incurred about for our share around 32 crores. And so we have still have the money in our bank and we will be able to complete the rest of the work program in a continuous manner. There should not be any problem to it. And whatever the funding which we earmarked through the borrowed capital, we will use it only for the offshore operations, not for onshore.
Okay. Understood, yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Janil from NMR Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. I just had two questions. The first one being on the capex front, that 1500 crores we had planned, that remains unchanged, right?
No change in that. Absolutely, there is no change in it. We will be embarking on a continuous drilling program and I think every well which we drill will add value to it. And now on the Karsan, we are still comfortable on it. Seventh well is on drilling, so it has unlocked substantial value to us. And we will be in this mode for every opportunity. Once the gas grid gets connected, then there is no stopping back until we drill entire, the number of wells planned is 40 plus 3, 43 wells or 45 wells, I think, 45 wells in Karsan. That will continue for longer period as such. One or two rigs will continuously embark thereon. And about 4 wells in Dirac will continue. And depending on the success of the greater Dirac, we will also getting more rigs into the operations there. So there is no looking back into it. So we'll continue to drill.
All right, sir. And the second one was on Northeast Reed only. So all India expects the DNTL line to be up and running before April 2026. And they are expecting expansion in terms of capacity in NRL in 2Q of FY27. So do we still expect a ramp up in 4Q? In terms of
optic? Yeah, I think there should be some improvement in the optic. Once the DNPL line gets connected, then there is C. When the gas getting in is now established from outside to Assam. Now, if the gas moving out from Assam is established, then you are in the part of the national grid, you know. It goes to Baruni. From Baruni, it comes up to Zira. So then you are in the national grid. There should not be any demand constraint. Because the country is importing more than 1 TCF of gas through LNG.
Alright. They were expecting it in April 26. So, in 4Q, we do still expect a ramp up in offtake a bit.
Yeah, we believe that fourth quarter should be giving a better offtake. By all probabilities, on the next financial year, should be doing much better than what we are today.
Alright. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, kindly limit your questions to 2 per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Harshit Kharka from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you once again. So I wanted to ask, what do we expect the production level to be in FY27, like a net production level?
Yeah, I think, if everything goes well, we are targeting about reaching our own production level of at least 6,000 barrels, oil equivalent.
All right, sir. On a BOPD basis?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anubhav Goel from Cosma Ventures. Please go ahead.
So just wanted to understand the delay for the workover for BAT to 4Q, because then the monsoon season will also start a few months after that. So are we on track for 4Q? Will there be no delay on this?
So we are making every possible effort with the guys, because tree running tools and other things are to be mobilized. And we have a time till on April. This total duration does not exceed more than 30 days. But we are trying our best to get into in place.
Okay, sir. And sir, if we don't get the payment from HPCL, say, in next few months, which is a sizable figure, so by say, February, so would we be then taking on more debt to finance the CapEx?
No, no, we will get the money actually, because that's what we believe in, right?
Okay, sir. Okay. And sir, just one broad question I had.
Sorry, Mr. Panuha. Please rejoin the queue for follow-up questions.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Tokas, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. I'm audible?
Yeah, please.
Okay, sir. First question is, the Hindustan Oil Exploration's connectivity to Duliajang, is the capacity enough to handle 50 MMSCFD that you're targeting?
Yes, there is a, see, overall volume increase with the DNPL should be additional 1 million cubic meters of gas. And with the compression, it should go up to 2.2 million cubic meters of gas. And the local demand therein. So in a manner, then the grid connectivity established to the national, this additional 2 million cubic meters will easily absorb our Dirac production.
Okay, sir. And your second question is about FSO and MOPU. I believe that they are very, very old machines. Is there a requirement to replace them? And at what level would they be profitable, production and oil price?
No, MOPU and FSO are not. MOPU is recently renovated. It is having its own life of another 10-12 years. And the FSO also actually is a tanker. It will have a life of another 10-15 years. There is no immediate replacement requirement.
Okay, okay, sir. The profitability?
Sorry,
at what product?
See, actually what we are looking at, they are only one subsidiary companies. We are making them as such in a manner that it is total to BAT, right?
Hmm.
So once the BAT improves, this also will improve.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. Have a good day.
Thanks. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mehul Panjwani from 40 Cents. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you so much for the follow-up opportunity. Sir, how much money are we supposed to receive from HPCL once the arbitration is complete?
There is no arbitration. So nothing. We are not arbitrating anything. They have got certain issues. We are discussing with them. And we raised an invoices. And we will be getting back the money. And you know, at the end of the day, they are all our big brothers in public sectors. We are in discussion with them. We will be talking to them. And in the mutual interest, we will settle the issues. We are not endeavor to go for any litigation or anything on it.
Appreciate, sir. Sir, can you tell me the figure?
It's about 259 crores.
259 crores. Okay. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anubhav Goel from Cosma Ventures. Please go ahead.
Sir, a general question. In earlier years when crude was around $75-$80, so we have reported 30% PAT margins on a consolidated basis. So now, assuming crude remains at $60-$65, where do we see our PAT margins in a few years once the ramp up is done?
Two way of looking at actually. See, whether your contract is a production sharing contract or a revenue sharing contract. If it is a revenue sharing contract, your share to the revenue to the government gets reduced. Okay, that gives you a cushion to that. Then you are a tax paying company, your tax gets reduced. So in net and net effect, that impact would be about whatever the price difference you're looking into it, only about 30% of that. Suppose there is a $10 price variation plus minus comes, I'll have a 3% impact therein. That's what the thumb rule according to me.
Okay, sir. Got it. Okay. And sir, can you just elaborate the Kharsang issue, the gas leak from the sixth well? Can it be something that there is pressure on us to, you know, halt future
Brilliant.
It is a blessing in disguise. Now we proved there is a substantial volume of gas available in for monetization. So we encountered this problem of well control, which we are addressing with the help of Oil India is leading, helping us, and the Kadwal is helping us, and we will be able to come out of this problem very shortly, and that will help us to look at a plan for monetizing the gas.
So, sir, if it's possible, then we will have to work on setting up infra for off-take of this gas in the future.
Yeah, that's right. We will once, this is the, actually we will be discussing with the government and our partners, and then we'll be looking at the monetizing by laying the additional line for evacuation, gas evacuation and gas processing facility therein. So oil processing already existing, then we will be looking for some facilities, minimum facilities therein to offtake the gas.
Okay, sir, got it. All right, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Riddhesh Gangi from Discovery Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. You know, just want to understand, given now that the physical stuff of the pipeline is already laid in place, just wanted to understand, what are the risks potentially of it being completed by the end of the year?
Which is, I'm not very, Riddhesh, I couldn't get you the full question actually.
Sure. No, I was just saying that given actually most of the pipeline is already ready now in Assam.
Yeah.
You know, just wanted to understand and we are indicating that it's going to be completed potentially by the end of the quarter. Just wanted to understand any risks with regards to potentially, I mean, could there be some leakage? Could there be some breakage? Is there some parts missing? Just want to understand any risk potentially associated with the opening of the pipeline and the connectivity.
These are all medicable risks, and even if there is any leakage, they can arrest it faster. There's not a big issue there onto it. And normally when they were connecting to the IGCL line, by the time they have to check and the refinery has to cooperate. And once that is done, and they will be checking it, and then compression station also. See, a lot of these are the operational small issues will come up. And I'm not privy to it, but that is not a big risk or something as such which is going to happen on it. It may be a delay about a week or something like that. Yes, there, nothing.
At most, got it, understood. Sir, and just again on the HPCL issue, when do we expect this to be resolved? And with regards to future offtake, could there be issues with HPCL or IOC or any of the other PSUs?
Absolutely nothing to do with this issue on future offtakes, that I can assure you. This issue has nothing to do with the future optics. And HPCL, we are in discussion with them. And we expect some resolution to us because we are small guys. And we will be always requesting them to help us. So we hope that they will also help us to get some realization of our revenue opportunity.
Got it. And they have sort of agreed to what our stand is with regards to the risk and the offtake and what's actually
happening. If that is sorted out, then I could have got the money, right? So that is what we are discussing on it. We will, but there is not going to be any dispute or anything. We will be sitting down and sorting out with them.
An issue. All right, sir. But that's all for me. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mehul Panjwani from 40 Cents. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. One bookkeeping question, sir. So this 259 crores, have we reported in the quarterly results this time?
Yeah, we have done that.
Okay. And sir, next question is, last quarter you mentioned that there is oil, the oil which is there in FSO, in the Bombay rig, we are not selling unless we get a good price of crude. But the price hasn't moved at all, or, you know, it is below our requirement. So have we sold any crude at all?
No, we have sold that entire volume, you know. That's where 470,000 barrels, we have sold it, right? That's where the issue of HPCL comes in.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ramaswamy Jeevanandam for his closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you all. We are currently drilling in onshore. and this momentum will continue until we unlock the value of our onshore assets. We will also start our offshore drilling campaign and continue until we put all the offshore blocks into value mode. There are temporary setbacks which we will overcome. We will ensure you that we meet our growth targets. We once again thank you all for joining us today. Thank you so much. Thanks.
Thank you very much, sir. On behalf of Hindustan Oil Exploration Company Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.